So I have a song to sing too. While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. Cause in my heart I'm rejoicing, and I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you, and to me that's all that matters. Though the world may not see, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Blessed in so many ways.
Amen.
I can't even start to name them or number them. And it goes up second by second, the blessings that I have. I can just keep piling them on them to each other, because every second that I live, he blesses me a little bit more some way, somehow. Just allowing me to have another second of life. Allow me to give me the opportunity to praise him for another second. It's a blessing. The message I have today came from a verse that I got through the week. And, you know, I kind of downplay technology and how evil it is and how bad it is. And it can be good if used in a proper manner. And I got a verse this week on my, came across one of my Bible apps. I got about 5 Bible apps, and they all send me verses at different times. And some of them need to check up on me, make sure I'm reading, which I kind of like too. And I'm like, shut up, app, I'll get there. I want to get to that in a minute. We'll get to the verse that actually they gave me. But I've been, if you go to Philippians 4, chapter 19, or sorry, Philippians 4, verse 19. I just got one verse out of Philippians that I want to talk about. And it is a verse that I've probably mentioned 100 times since I've been here. In the last, 6 months or so. And Philippians 4, 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I've talked about that a lot as I've been trying to move up here and decide things and figure out what's going to happen and where I'm going to be, and thinking mostly of myself in many ways, and also trying to start thinking more about the church and where the church is going to be, and what we need. God knows. God has a plan in all things, Let's not mess it up. So I'm reading that, and I'm going to come back to that verse even more later, but I thought of that first thing as soon as I read this other verse that was given to me on this app, and I read it, and I thought, well, that's not true. And so I had to really dig into it a little more to understand, because I know that if it's coming from my Bible, it's going to be true. And so I can't look at it and say it's not. That's blasphemy to God, and I don't want to do that, obviously. So I wanted to understand it more as in my mind of what I thought about it and where it goes. And it really has blessed my heart as I studied it more and more. As you know, in this Bible, as you read through it, it's Jesus. And I read this verse, and it seems like a very selfish verse. And when I got down and I got to it and I read it and I understood the words better, it's Jesus. And it's just really touched me as I've read through this. But I'm actually going to take a more reading text in Psalms chapter 37. It's a psalm of David. And interestingly enough, we watched the movie David. We finally got Angel Studios, the actual app or whatever, and we can watch the movies that are on there, and I've been wanting to watch it. It's a cartoon, so I really loved it because I love cartoons. But it's kind of a cartoon, and I'm going to tell you, I watched it, and it's hard to find anything wrong with it. I try. As I watch biblical-type movies and productions that have been put out, I always try to find the flaws in them to see where I might not believe exactly what they're trying to show us or tell us. Now, it stops once he gets, you know, a little older, the king not to the far, the part where David actually does wrong, but as he went through, I agreed with it, and I watched it, and I loved it, and I saw David as being a, you know, this young boy, and going through and killing Goliath, and being sought after by, trying to kill by Saul, and running, and trying to bring the people back together, and it was a really good movie, I thought, for a cartoon. I thought it was a great movie. But this psalm here is written by David, and I just want to read the first six verses of this psalm. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the world, against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself into also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thine way unto the Lord, trust him also, and he shall bring to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And the verse that that was given to me, that I read right off the bat, it says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. When I read that, I'm like, doesn't seem right. And I'm going to tell you why it doesn't seem right, because my heart is full of sin and evil thoughts and wrongdoing things and things that I think about that I should and shouldn't be doing, and it's all in there. And God knows every one of them. We can, all the inward thoughts that we have, we may hide them and we need to repent of them, but they're in there. There's evil in each and every one of us, whether we want to admit to it or not. We have sin. I don't like it, but I have it. Now, a lot of it comes to, am I going to act on that sin, that sinful thought that I may have had, or the temptation that I had? Am I going to act on that, or am I going to put it aside and do what God knows, what I know God says is right? But I read that, and it says, all the heart, desires of the heart, it just really bothered me. I'm like, I don't want all the desires of my heart, trust me, because I know some of the desires of my sin, my man, human side heart is sinful. And I know God doesn't want that. So I went back and I want to start with the first part, delight thyself in the Lord. Well, in my mind, I thought it meant, be happy in God. I mean, let's be happy with what God has given us and be happy with that. And I want to be delighted with what God has given me, and I'm happy with it. If you go to the word delight, and then, you know, mostly we go into our common language that we use, delight, you know, is pleasureful. I'm delighted to do that. I have pleasure taking care of that. I'm delighted to help you. I have pleasure to help you. I'm happy to help you. If you take it back, going through my Strong's dictionary and looking back into the original Hebrew word of onag, which is what it comes to, and the base root goes to the word soft or pliable. Well, that really kicked in. I go, okay, I see where we're going now. If you will take yourself and soften your heart and make yourself pliable for God to mold, then you'll start seeing, getting all the desires of your heart. Why? Because your desires of your heart that you are having as a man, as a being that walks the earth, that is sinful, is going to be changed because God is going to shape it to what He wants. And suddenly the desires of your heart are not going to be about, I want this, I want this house, I want this, I want to be here, I want that, I want that shirt, or I want to do this. It's not about any of those things. When God takes over your heart and He starts molding it, it's going to be about what God wants. I want to do this because God wants me to do it. I don't care about that at all. God has molded me. God has softened my heart so that I will listen to Him and follow God, not me. That pride that we have in our heart, the sinfulness that we have, that we've had to let the free will to decide. Am I going to follow what I want to do? Or am I going to follow what God has for me to do? That's what I'm going to delight. That's what I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, is when I soften my heart. When I say, God, do what you want. Make me pliable. When I say, God, do what you want, when I get to that second part, my desires are going to be of God. All the desires, all my wants, everything that I want to be, everything that I want to do is going to lead right back to God. And that really got kind of excited because I got to looking through all the different old stories of the Bible. You go to Abraham and Isaac. I have a feeling Abraham did not want to go up to the mountain and kill his son. I just don't think he wanted to do that. But he did. He moved forward with what God wanted him to do. He got him up to an altar and was ready to sacrifice him as God had told him to do. God let there be a ram. God let that angel come in and stop him and say, look, there's a ram tied up over here. We're going to sacrifice that instead. You go to Daniel in the lion's den. Through the king coming through and saying, you know, nobody's going to pray anything except to me. And what's the first thing Daniel did? Went and threw his windows up and prayed as loud as he could to God. I love that story. I mean, that's just, I always love the story of Daniel, just all about it. And it's almost humorous kind of to me because it's kind of like he's like, listen, I don't care what you tell me to do. I'm going to pray to God. And if you don't like it, do whatever you want to me. And I see him in the lion's den. And I see the angel came and protecting him and taking care of him and shutting the mouths of those lions up. And I still, in my mind, I see him cuddled up with those big kitty cats just purring away. And when they came to the next morning and saw him, he's like, I'm good down here. These cats are nice and warm. We're snuggled up. They're purring. Noah in the ark. I see him there, and God telling him to build this large boat. We were on a pretty big boat last week. I'm sure it wasn't nowhere near as big as it, but they hadn't seen rain. They hadn't seen what he is talking about. His son-in-laws are even making fun of him. Like, what are you talking about? That's crazy. Dismissing him as all along the way. And that's the wrong one. That's Lot. Anyway, he got his son-in-laws to come. His daughter-in-laws. It's him. Yeah. My dad had Moses on the ark at some point, so we get mixed up. But the people made fun of him and mocked him as he built the boat to get ready to for the floods that were coming. And it wasn't like he did this over a year. 100 years it took him to build this. So you're talking a century of people mocking you and this sitting outside your house and just getting bigger and bigger. And people are just like, what is wrong with this guy? But you see, when it came time and the rains came, and he got on the boat, on the ark. And God came and shut the door. And I look at each one of those situations, and there's many more. I mean, we can go through about all a lot of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. I'm not going to bow to your idols. Throw us in there. That's fine. And what do we see? God in there with them. But we also have Adam and Eve right off the bat where God was with them and they went the other way. So I just went through these and I'm just going through and just kind of rejoicing in the Lord as He showed me, kind of opened up those little nuggets of the Bible, and I love seeing those. But I went back to that very first verse that we talked about, Philippians 4:19. And I don't know if it's just me reading it or if it's actually a thing. I've never really heard anybody say it before. Philippians 4:19, again, let me read that. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ." Now this comes right after Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. And, they have given him money and taken help to take care of his ministry as he walks about and goes from town to town to spread the word of Jesus and how he can save them. And he has been abundantly taken care of, and these people have helped. And he is saying that, you know, you have given to me and I have gotten everything taken care of with abundance, God will also take care of you. But I want to look at that. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Not needs. Need, singular. What's our one need in this life? I only have one need in this entire life that I have from the time I'm born until the time that I die. I have really, ultimately, one need. I need Jesus. Now, I don't know if this is just the way it was written or this is the way I kind of saw it today, but I have one need, and this need happens to be in a singular form. I'm going to tell you that that was given to me also. Not because of anything that I've done, but because that as I went through, I looked to God, I delighted in Him. I softened my heart and I said, "Lord, if you're going to do it, you have to do it. Can't do it." Because He gave us something. Just like Daniel in the lion's den, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like that ram that was up there for Abraham and Isaac, there was somebody there for me. Somebody that took care of me. Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, Matthew 6 and 31. "Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed?" I'm going to tell you, right before service, I was thinking about food. I'm hungry. I didn't eat any breakfast. There wasn't much going on. I was getting ready. And I missed my mission barbecue last night, my chicken. I've been thinking about food. I'm going to tell you, I had it beforehand. And I had to think about it. But then it says, "For all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth the things that ye had need of, that ye have need of these things." He knows that we need food. He knows that we need shelter. He knows that we need clothes. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought, for the morrow shall take thought of these things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'm going to tell you, I need one need, and that's God, and that's Jesus. And if I have that one thing, I'm going to tell you, He's going to give me the rest. He knows what I need. All He wants me to do is get up and put my effort and put all my attitude and all my heart and let it be softened and let me delight in
He'll take care of the rest.
All the things that, so many times I think we do all our work, maybe not all the time. I think sometimes we do our work that we do for God, and we do it selfishly. Either for good or for bad. Well, I better be at church today because I don't want God to do this to me. I don't want to be punished. I want to be at church today because, you know, I got some wants that I have that I want to see. So I better do what I can for God. That's a dangerous thing. Because it sounds, on the surface, it sounds good. I want to serve God. But why? For me. I want to be here today because I want God to be uplifted. I don't know what's going to happen. I might not make it home. I don't care. But as I stand here right now, I know that I want God to be uplifted, that He has taken care of me this far, and I have no doubt that He's going to take care of me to come. Amen. We go through hard times sometimes. Bad things happen. I can't explain why or how they work. We know that God is not the master of evil things, that He allows those things to happen from the what the devil can do. And I don't understand why He lets Him do it. I don't. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain why cancer is a thing. I can't explain why people die all of a sudden. I can't explain accidents where people die. I don't understand them. I can't. I just can't. And many times that's the exact things that will turn people away. And why would God let those happen? I don't know. But I know that God can take care of you. Mm-hmm. Did they die because they didn't have faith in God? I don't know. I don't know why those reasonings are. I know good people that have died that I can't understand. I know there's bad things that happen to people that are good people that love the Lord. Sometimes our minds get in the way of our actions and our thoughts that we should be doing. We get in our minds and let our heads think about this and that, and that's what we have to do, and this is what we need to do, instead of what? Turning to God. What should I do? How am I going to do this? I think back in my lifetime that I've had good times and bad times. My best times have always been when I'm in the center of God's will. My best times in my marriage, in my whatever relationship that you have, whether it is a marriage, is obviously a big one that many of us have, that if we can put God first, I feel like our relationship's been better than it ever has been before. Definitely better than when we didn't have God first. Definitely better. And that goes also, I'm sure, with children and other family members that you come in contact with. If you will put God first, it says that He'll take care of it. Seek ye first God's kingdom. We're going to make mistakes. Guess what we need to do? Seek God's kingdom. Seek how to repent to Him. Talk to God. Own up to Him. I know that's not big in this world today. You make mistakes. Take them to God. Look, God, I go to Him a lot. Hey, this is your stupid one that you made. I'm sorry. I'm here again. Yeah, I'm sorry again. First John chapter 2. Love not the world. Chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. lust of the world's, I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard not to see what's out there. And I'm going to tell you, it's in anything you can think of. Either, whether it's a lifestyle or if it's something that you can touch, if it's a job, if it's a relationship, if it's whatever. Many of those things look really good. That's the way it's designed to look really good. That's what the devil does, is makes it look really good. And then in our sinful ways, we have to figure out how to weed through them to find God again, to search for God. What do you want for us to do? This looks really good. This looks like a really, I mean, everything looks great. I mean, this is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. If God doesn't want you to have that, he'll let you know. Don't do it. We go through life and it's not easy. Life's hard. I've been told that from a younger, very young age. As I complained about this and that, and we didn't have a whole lot growing up. I never went without by any means, but I never had the nicest shoes or nice as this or that. My first car I got was a 15-year-old truck that was a construction company owned it. I ran it to death, and I, you know, kind of pieced it back together, and I liked it. But I was told from a pretty young age, life isn't going to be easy. If you are here today and saved and you know God, in your mind you might think, well, what should be easy now? God's going to take care of it. He will. But you've got to get your heart ready. You've got to get softened up. You've got to be pliable and let God mold your heart as you go along. And there's times when he has to remold it a little bit, because I try to change it. I love Play-Doh. I can play with it all day and I can change it and fiddle with it. Sometimes God doesn't want it to change. Leave it alone. God's got it where he wants it at. Don't go fiddling with it. But talk to God. Sometimes there's a change needs to happen. Talk to God. That's where my that's where my delight's going to come from. Not from this world. Not just trying to make God happy. My delight's going to come because I want to be everything I can for him. Let him mold us. As a church, let him mold us. If we need to do something a little different, let's do it. We have a neighborhood. We have family. We have neighbors. All of them needs God. Whether you like them or not. We're people. I don't like everybody. I should love everybody. But there's people I don't like them too much. We don't have personalities that mesh real well. I still love you. I just don't want to be best friend with you or anything. But we should have that love that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Because guess what? There's people out there, they don't like me real well either. Mm-hmm. I'm messed up. I'm broken. I've done people wrong. I'm not Jesus. Never will be. But I know Jesus. He molded my heart. He talks to me. When I'm alone, and I'll listen, he'll talk to me. But when I put the world and clutter my life full of stuff that it just fills it up almost with just clutter, mm-hmm. It's really hard to hear him. When I clean it out, open it up for a spot for him to be at in my heart, I've heard him. I've heard him pretty loudly. I've heard him softly. The creator of the universe and I spoke last night. That's always amazing to me. When I can think about speaking to God, that he speaks to me directly. That Jesus will come and he'll have a little chat with me. He'll admonish me. He'll He'll go off on me sometimes, and that's fine. I'm glad he cares about me enough to do that. That's my message today. Let's not be selfish in why we serve God. Let's love God and come to Him because of Him. Not that we would gain anything, but that He would get it all. Because at the end of the day, He deserves anything and everything He can get from us. My life is not enough. And that's all I've got to give. So let's push as far as we can to serve God in a way that He also would be delighted in us, as well as I delight myself in Him. Anything on anybody's heart this morning? Anything we've got to say or do before we end the service?